prayer for illumination. God, illumine our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, our eyes may see your kingdom, our ears may hear the call of Jesus, and our hearts may know the joy of your salvation. Amen. Now for scriptures, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 18. Go ahead and find that. The first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, by brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with elegant wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Thank our sister Christ for helping us this morning to continue in our time of worship. Please join with me in prayer. Thank you, loving God, for how you speak into our lives. Certainly, you speak through your word, not simply ink on paper, something speaking into our hearts and speaking a truth of your grace. Thank you also for speaking into our lives and in so doing creating in us, working in us, molding us. Thank you for all of these good things. We thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the choir did it to me again. They did it to me again. They preached the sermon already. Think about it. Think about what they were singing about. Jesus, you are my all in all. Okay. Just a little talk with Jesus. Now, what was the offertory and also the anthem about? Who was it about? Okay, the kids in preschool do a little bit better job with that. Let's try it once again. Who was it about? You heard my young friend whenever I said, who loves you even more? God! Now that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of joy, that's contagious, isn't it? Yeah. We're called to have that as well. However, sometimes we find ourselves in situations or even in places where it's not particularly joyful or joy-filled. Rather, it can be more aptly described as divisive, pulling apart, creating anger and distrust. A friend of mine, a pastor, had shared with me about a particular church that he knew of that had two large cabinets in the church basement. Now, being a pastor for a number of years, I can tell you that cabinets are a dangerous place in a church because people can cram all sorts of stuff in there, treasures, close the door, and forget about it. And especially if they don't want to get rid of it. Well, I'll give it to the church. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes not so good. These two cabinets, large, massive things, were lockable, and these two happened to always be locked. And what was in those two cabinets? were two different sets of China that were controlled by two different factions in the church that determined when their China could be used. And if you were worthy, if your event was worthy of their China. I kid you not. He went back years later. I didn't tell this in first service. He went back years later and guess what was still there? And guess what was still causing divisions in that church? It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, we can say it. It's ridiculous to be so petty and to be so focused on things that really don't matter. I wanted to go ahead and share this statement, this quote, actually, that somebody once said that church fights are the nastiest because the stakes are so low. They didn't mean that Christ doesn't matter. No, that's not the point. Rather, they meant that compared with Christ, nothing else matters much. Compared with Christ, nothing else matters much. We're with our friends at Corinth once again this Sunday. Last Sunday we were there, and we were talking about how Paul was sharing that they had all of the gifts, all of the talents that they needed to be able to do God's work, to be able to build God's kingdom, further God's reign. They had all the talents. Now, not one any individual had all of the talents. Okay, granted. You might be sitting next to a vivacious, wonderful, outstanding, stupendous, creative, good-looking, marvelous, witty, stupendous person right now. Go ahead and look and see if that's true right now. Go ahead and check it out. Now, let me go ahead and share something with you. Some of you better automatically just nod your head without looking, okay? It's just a tip. It's just a hint. You better just say, yes, Pastor, absolutely. She or he is that all covered. However, even as that person is so wonderful, guess what? No one of us, not one of us, not a single individual has all of the gifts, okay? Together, certainly. And this church is no different than any other church. Within this church, there are gifts and talents to be able to do what God calls us to do. We need, and this is key, we need to be together. We need to understand that we're in this together. Go ahead and say that along with me. We're in this together. When we realize that, then it's not about divisions. It's not about who controls what cupboard, whose supplies belong to who. And I understand it's important to have supplies to be able to do ministry, no question about it. But it's not about those things because they become very secondary. And in the church at Corinth, the secondary things were starting to take a primary place. They were majoring in the minors. Now, you remember in that church, it probably met in smaller house churches. Last Sunday I was sharing about that they didn't gather like this. They certainly didn't have a large open area like this, and they didn't gather with this many people. There weren't probably even that many Christians in the early church. And they were gathering in these separate places so it would be easy for them to kind of develop a clique, if you will. Now, I understand also, stretch with me with this comment that I'm going to share. I understand that in some churches, cliques develop. I know that never happens here. I know that here, people never sit together with the same people. I know that that never happens. I know that that never happens in Cookie Fellowship, but stretch with me to understand what was happening in the early church. And so whenever people were in those house churches, just a few folks, certainly, they would kind of be focusing on that group. And some of them even started saying, hey, I was baptized by so-and-so. Well, I was baptized by this person. Well, I was baptized by this person. And in so doing, basically saying, hey, it's who you know. It's who you know, not what you do. It's who you know. And they were forgetting about who they knew, who they all knew, and what name they were called to lift up above every other name. That name? A little bit better. Jesus. Now, you were right in the first one, so Jesus. That was the name to lift up above all other names. Not somebody who baptized them, not a cult of personality, and that can oftentimes happen in gatherings and oftentimes regularly happens in church. Shouldn't, but it does. These separate groups of people, these individuals were kind of starting to do their own thing and pulling apart. And we as a church in the modern day need to understand that we need to pull everybody in. We need to be welcoming. We need to show hospitality. We need to understand that God loves us, so certainly God loves that person as well, even if it's hard to believe. We need to be able to wave at the people who are out in the gathering area and let them know we love them. Nice to see you folks. We need to be welcoming to that person coming in the door for the first time. We need to be looking for that person that might be sitting by themselves and go over and just say, hi, and even if they say, yeah, I met you already, or I was here last season, say, well, I have short-term memory loss, and just go ahead and continue to talk to them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what that response is. What matters is our response, and I think that's probably what keeps Christians from doing what they need to do, trying to outthink God, trying to outthink what's going to happen, and say, well, what if they have this reaction? Well, what if they do that? Who cares? If we're following God, if we're lifting up Jesus above all other names, then we're doing what we need to do. We're doing what we're called to do. I was mentioning about the cult of personality. And certainly we see this happening on all sorts of levels around the world, political, religious, social. Individuals being lifted up and individuals feeling almost a connection to that person, even if they've never met them, and somehow gaining something from being able to watch that person or see them. And yet it's not about that person. And if we are defined by what that person does or says, then we're missing the point. We are defined by God and God alone. We are defined by God and God alone. And God has defined us through a saving relationship with us through Jesus. Okay? So what does that mean? That means that the cross has to be at the center of our thinking about God. Has to be at the center. Certainly, we have crosses in the church. Sometimes we walk right past them. Sometimes they become almost a background. But the cross, in our thinking about God, has to be central, has to be front and center. What did God do for us through Christ on that cross? What did God do for us through Jesus hanging on that cross? Forgiveness was offered. Forgiveness was offered if we simply humble ourselves before God, turn back to God, and open ourselves to how God is speaking into our lives. Through that cross, also, we remember that Jesus didn't stay there, but he was taken down. He was dead, but he was taken into a tomb, and that tomb couldn't hold him either. So the tombs that we have in our lives, the place where hopes go to die, the tombs that we have in our lives, those tombs of grieving or anger that we hold inside, those things can be emptied also because the tomb that Christ in was emptied as well. And as Christ risen, resurrected, and alive? Yes. So when we lift up that name of Jesus, above all other names, above everything else, we're defined by that, then we do have hope. And we do have a promise. Now let me share with you. I understand what it is to go through challenging and difficult times. To go through times when you wonder if there is any answer. You wonder if there's going to be healing. You wonder if you're going to be able to get through a very dark moment. You feel like you're in your own tomb, if you will. Will you ever arise? Will you ever walk out of that? The good news is that we will. The good news is that God doesn't leave us in those places. Just like God didn't leave Jesus on the cross or in the tomb, we aren't left there either. And while it's hard to believe and hard to imagine sometimes, it's true. It doesn't seem to make sense at times with what the world values. And Paul addresses that in his very last verse, verse 18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let me read that once more. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, does that mean that it is an us and them mentality that we are called to have? Not at all. Remember what Paul was just saying. In fact, whenever they were talking about, well, you were baptized by this person, you were baptized by this person is a more charismatic person than that person, so me, by default, I'm more charismatic or I'm better because I was baptized by that person or I knew that person. Paul says in this letter, what he wrote to the Corinthians, I don't even remember who I baptized. I don't even remember. And I think he was being kind of ornery there, don't you? He was kind of saying to them, it doesn't matter who I baptized. In fact, it's so unmemorable that I can't even remember all of the names. In doing that, and in humbling himself, he's pointing to Jesus above all names as well. He's saying it's not about me. Some in that church had started breaking apart so much that they didn't even really care about what Paul was writing, I'm sure. But we in the modern day church need to care. And we need to realize that since it isn't an us versus them, and it is a we, how can we encourage that as the church, as the body of Christ? How can we foster that, not only in this building, but outside of this building when we go out to share the good news? For us, the cross is victory. For us, the cross points to salvation. For us, the cross, most of all, points towards grace and forgiveness. And it also reminds us of hope. All of those things are truths that we already have as the church of God, as this place, this house of prayer, as those people who lift up Jesus above all other names. Those are already things that we have, but we simply need to be open to it and not focus on the things that do not matter, but focus on the name of Jesus above all other names. Can we do that, church? A few of you are with me, okay? Remember what I said. All of us, we're in this together. Can we do that, church?
Yes.
Oh, that makes me feel a lot more confident. It really does. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to think about these words. Read them again. Think about the name of Jesus above all other names. However you have felt yourself being defined by other people, Maybe it's a name that they've called you. Maybe it's a label that they've put on you. You are not that. The name of Jesus is above everything else in your life. That's how God defines you. Because he sent Jesus for you. For you. How do you see yourself, knowing that God sent Jesus specifically for you, that you could have that name above everything else, that you can kind of keep focused on that name beside everything else, beyond everything else? Join with me as we think about that question.